We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Good afternoon. Once again, I'm glad to be here and taking time for Jesus, giving him praise and honor. Or he has seen me through another week and allowed me to come here to preach to you or bring to you what he has laid on my heart. There's a lot of troubles in the world today, and oftentimes it even comes within our own families. And my friend, today Jesus said he would go with us even unto the end of the world. So we got to realize that he is our source and our comfort. When we begin to let him take charge of things, then things seems like to start with, they get worse, and we get all disgruntled about it. But, you know, the Lord has ways to work things out far beyond yours and my understanding oftentimes. For his ways are higher than ours, and he is above all things. But we'd like to take time to just remind you that Jesus is still in control of all things. And sometimes the enemy will make you feel like and make you think that he don't exist anymore, that he had just left you out on the line, so they say, and to fend for yourself. But Jesus promised us that he would be with us even unto the end of the world, and he would not allow anything to overtake you and through your trials and everything, except he has made a way of an escape. Many times we want to miss out on all the trials and tribulations. I know I have from time to time. I could have done without it, but God seen me through it. It made me a little stronger in my faith and kept me in the place of where he wanted me to be. And my friend, that's all I want to be. I want to be more like him. I know I'm still in the flesh, and occasionally, more often than not, I get a little beside myself and the flesh takes over. And well, you know how that is, I'm sure. But I just thank God today to know that his grace is sufficient. And when I asked him to forgive me, I don't have to worry about it anymore. But next thing I've got to do is to forgive me. If I failed him, I asked him to forgive me, then I forgot to forgive myself. So if you keep letting the enemy keep dwelling on that, oh, you done this and you done that, and you, this is still troubling you, then you need to just let the devil understand that you're going to serve God regardless of what he says or what he does, because he was a liar, a liar from the beginning. So we just got to rely upon our faith in Jesus Christ, looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, because he died on the cross, shed his blood, and gave everything that you could have life more abundantly. You could have the forgiveness of your sins, and you could have him with you that surpasses all of our understanding, that he will give you peace that you don't understand. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, you pray one for another, and we want to just invite God to just have his way in your life and help us to be overcomers for his name's sake and for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to take time for Jesus, to go out over the radio waves into the homes, automobiles, or however it may be that they are receiving us. Lord, we pray that you would touch the lips of clay and anoint them, that it's not I, but you would speak through these lips that would bring encouragement and help those that may be discouraged, and lift them up, Lord, by your Spirit. And we just give you the praise. Touch, heal, and deliver, Father, soul, mind, and body, and bring us to the place to where you would have us to be in Christ Jesus, and help us to be content with thee, O Lord, and give you praise and honor through all things, through our trials and our tribulations, for we're going to have those in this life. But you said he has overcome the world. So by you overcoming the world, Lord, we know that through you that we can be overcomers. So we give you the praise and the glory. So as we go with this time, we thank you for each one, and we pray that you would bless each one, the ear to hear and the heart to receive, and we'll be careful to praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I believe my wife's scribbling something over there. She's ready to go, I'm guessing. I'm going to let her have it there for give you what she's got on her heart and in her mind for the Lord. So here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Well, I just praise the Lord for this beautiful day, as David said. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We sing that song a lot of times in church and everything, but are they really words that we mean? Or is it just something that we sing? In the Psalms, there's a lot of songs in there. If you just go through them, you know, when you're feeling down and out and everything, and just go in there and the Psalms will bring you comfort. But I just praise God this afternoon again for being here at WTIS or wherever we may be coming to you from. And thank the Lord for His love and His mercies for watching over us and protecting us. And I want to share with you this afternoon, we had a brother, blessed brother Robert Levins, has gone on for his reward. And he used to put out these tracks, and they are a lot of messages in there. And if you take every time I read one or anything, if you really, instead of listening particularly to the words, you listen to the words and see what they mean to you. But this is a song that's called, a track that's called Under His Wings. I was thinking of the song Under His Wings, but I told my husband to sing it today, but he said, I can't sing. So anyhow, maybe one day we will. But this is Under His Wings. An Indian evangelist, Sandar Say, wrote about a devastating forest fire in the Himalayas while he was traveling as a missionary. While many were trying to fight it, a group of men stood watching a mother bird frantically flying above in circles above a tree. She was chirping out an alarm to her nest full of fledglings. And if you don't know what a fledgling is, those are little eagles. As the nest began to burn, the mother bird didn't fly away. Instead, she zoomed down and covered her brood with her wings. In seconds, she and her nestlings were burned to ashes. Sai then said to the awe-stricken spectators, "We have witnessed a truly marvelous thing. God created that bird with such love and devotion that she gave her life trying to protect her young. That is the love that brought God down from heaven to become a man. This is the love that made him suffer a painful death for our sakes." The above story is a stirring illustration of Jesus' love for us. We also stand in awe as we think of Calvary, where the fire of holy judgment burned. For there Jesus suffered and died as he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. In 1 Peter 2:24, Christ endured the fires of judgment that we might enjoy the forgiveness of God. And there's a food for thought. Faith in Jesus Christ will keep us on a steady course in the stormy sea of life. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will calm the turbulence of the storms in your life. And I have another little article here I'd like to read to you. It's called Forsaken, and it's from the Daily Bread. Do you know which psalm is quoted most often in the New Testament? You may have guessed a familiar and beloved 23rd psalm, but actually, it is Psalm 22. This psalm begins with David's poignant, heartbreaking words that were quoted by Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46, Mark 15:34. Imagine the situation David must have been in that caused him to cry out to God in this way. Notice that he had felt forsaken and abandoned. Why are you so far from helping me? In Psalms 22:1, he also felt ignored. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And that's verse 2. Have you ever been there? Are You There Now? Have you looked up into the heavens and wondered why it seemed that God had abandoned you or was ignoring you? Welcome to David's world. But for every plaintive cry David expresses, there is a characteristic of God mentioned that rescues him from despondency. Through it all, David discovers that God is holy. In the 22nd chapter in verse 3, he's trustworthy in verses 4 and 5. He's a deliverer and a rescuer in verses 8 and 20 and 21. And he's our strength in verse 19. Do you feel forsaken? Seek the Lord, rehearse his character, and let your heart rejoice with everlasting joy in Psalms 22 and 26 in the New Living Testament. Lord, sometimes I feel as if you don't care about my life. When those times come, please remind me of your character as you did for David. Help me to lean on you again and know that you are there. Even when we don't sense God's presence, his loving care is all around us. And as Brother Compton said a little while ago, it is written, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I will go with you even to the end of the world. And I just praise God this afternoon that he said that he would never leave me, he would never forsake me, but he would be there no matter what troubles, no turbulence, whatever comes along. God said he would be there. And without Jesus Christ, I can do nothing.
Listening to the home of the Mike Huckabee and Dave Ramsey shows, Inspiration Radio, AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa.
Praise the Lord again. We glad to know that I know him. For without him, I can do nothing. To know him is to love him. To know him is to care about what he has in our life and to trust him with everything that we have in our life. There's a lot of people trust us in various different things, and this nation, a lot of it mostly trusts in the armies that we have and our armed forces and everything, and I don't say there's anything wrong with that, but outside of God, if it was not for God, then even they would fail more so oftener than they do. But I'm just thank God today to know that with Him, all things are possible, even to your troubles and my troubles, even to whatever may come our way, that the enemy that is out seeking that he may devour. But God has got all authority. If you think about that, when Job's time, that he was a man there that God recognized and spoke about, that he was perfect and upright in every way. But still in all, the devil came up, and the sons of God, he came with them and was on a day. And when the Lord looked and seen Lucifer there, Satan, he asked him from which and where did he come from. He said, walking to and fro in the earth. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? Is not he perfect and upright in every way? And he said, well, does Job serve you for naught, or does it because you got a hedge about him and all the things that you have blessed him with? Does he serve you for that? But you take the hedge from about him, he said, and I'll make him curse you to your face. God allowed him, and he took the hedge from around Job. And at that time, Job had very much wealth and had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And all of those was there. Then Job went every day and sacrificed according to them, for each one there, just in case that they had done something that would displease God. That during that time of a sacrifice that was made of an animal, it would be sufficient. But my friend, the supreme sacrifice was made on Calvary long ago, and therefore when the Lamb of God, when God put on the flesh and came and died for you and I on Calvary's cross, his blood shed abroad for all them that was there, all of us, all every man, woman and child that comes into this world, that blood is sufficient for their sins. But he promised us that he would be with us even through in any of our trials and tribulations. But oftentimes we fail and we lean towards something else rather than the Lord God Almighty. Job didn't hesitate. He, after all these things, his servant, he was there, and the hedge was took from him, and everything that he had, his camels, his she-asses, and all them things, and was slain, and all of his servants that minded those things was slain. It'd be one left to go and tell Job about the thing that had happened. Just think about all this happening in just a matter of one speaking and another one coming telling him something else had happened. What kind of troubles that Job had that hit him all at one time, you might say. He lost it all. But God had promised him that he would, take care of him, evidently. But then again, when he lost all that, he fell on the ground. According to this first chapter of Job in the 13th verse, he said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I turn thither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And is all this Job's sin? In all this, Job sinned not or charged God foolishly. Honey, don't forget that God has control over it all. Nevertheless, however how much the trouble may come, God's got a way of getting you out of it. I can't specifically say just how he's going to do it, but he's got a way, a plan made already for your escape, and by whatever means that he chooses to do with it. It's not for me to question him or to you. Although David, he cried out, Lord, why have thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? Jesus on the cross, their God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The flesh cried out. The sonship of God, you might say, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I want you to know that God does not look down upon the sins. He looked again. When he looked again, he seen the blood that of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the blood that covered the sins, and he turned again unto mankind. My friend, it's going to take the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. Job went and sacrificed a lamb, no doubt, every day for each one of his children, just in case they had done something that displeased God or said something that was out of the place that they should have said. But he done this. And Job, when he lost it all, he didn't cry out, Lord, this and that, and why have you took all my goats and my sheep and everything away from me and everything? Why did you do this? Or why did you, if you're there and you're such a loving God, why'd you let this happen? Job didn't say that. He fell down on the ground after he had shaved his head. He fell down and worshiped and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But he didn't charge God with anything. But I want you to know that there was a time then again that the men of God came up there and they presented themselves to the Lord, and Satan came also. So then he asked him again where he come from, and he said, walking to and fro. Again, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Yes, but you let him touch his skin and I'll make him curse you. God told him he could do anything, but he could not take his life. Honey, remember, whatever you may have to go through in this life, there is a life that God has got preserved within him to give to you a crown of life, as Paul put it. If you finish the course, you run your race with patience and wait upon God and allow God to do in your life as he sees fit. And when you finished your course, as Paul said, I have not yet obtained, but I strive, I reach for, I press toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. When Paul was going to Rome, and he knew that he'd come his time to go, he said, I have finished my race. I've won the course, in other words. I've gone the last mile, and now I'm there. I've come to that place to where this is the end of my life here. He said, but thereforth is laid up for me a crown of life, but not for me only, but for all of them that love God and his appearance. So why should we fret about these things? Even in this world, we're going to have troubles, as Job made this part, that a man born of a woman, and in this world, he's going to have troubles as the sparks fly upwards. I forget exactly where it's at now, but it's made mention in the Bible. It said, sometimes our worst enemies is even our best loved ones, or someone in our home. But I want you to think about it, my friend. Our best love is in Christ Jesus. We need to love him with our whole soul, mind, heart, and with our body. Present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice, and he will take care of the rest. That would just be yours or my reasonable service. He will watch over you and keep you against all of the things that the devil may come against you. He'll raise a standard up against him. He is our shield and our buckle. He is our shelter in the storm. As my wife was saying there about the eagle covering her young with her wings and the fire burn them up. My friend, the old thing goes that the eagles, when they're nesting upon the rocks and everything, and there when the storms come and rain boots down on them, the mother eagle will go and, or both of them will go and spread their wings over the young in the nest to keep the and shelter them from the storm. God said he would be our shelter. He said, I'll be your shelter. In other words, he'll cover you with his wings. Cover you with his feathers. He'll be your shield and your buckle. He will keep the storms from you. But every once in a while, the trying of your faith has got to come to let you know that he is still in control. No matter what may happen. I've had some things to happen to me in my life. I didn't appreciate it. But God helped me through it. And I trusted him for it. Many people today was born with a, as the old saying goes, born with a silver spoon in their mouth and so on and so forth, and they got it all. And they don't think God exists. But my friend, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, neither did I have everything that I could possibly wanted. And I'm glad it's like it is, because God has let me know that he has supplied my needs, spiritually, physically, and financially. I remember back when I was about 4 years old, and during the Depression time, that we covered an old chicken coop with some tar paper, and we lived in it for a short time before we got able to do the other end. I went to school barefooted. A lot of things has happened to me in my lifetime, but God's still in control. He still met my needs. My first grade teacher bought me some nice shoes and some socks. She gave me milk and bread every morning for school within 5 days. God met my needs, my friend, and he's no respecter person. He'll meet your needs. He knows your ins and your outs. He knows you're lying down and you're getting up. He knows your troubles. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Just put your trust in him. No matter what the devil may come up with you. As the preacher preached this morning, Jesus sent the apostles out in the sea as he went into the mountains to pray. And they was out in the waves come up and was troubling them there, and they couldn't get nowhere. But Jesus came walking on the sea. My friend, today he's walking with you. And all of your troubles and your trials, as the poem said, there's no author to it there, but when he was at worst times, he looked and he only seen one set of tracks. Footprints. As footprints in the sand. Right. And he said, Lord, with all of these troubles, with all of the time, when I needed you most, you wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The Lord said, my son, or my child, that is when I carried you. He will carry you. Through your troubles, he's with you. He knows all about it. There's none of us suffered anything or any troubles like our Savior did. He was persecuted, beaten with a cat of nine tails. If you don't know what that is, it's nine lashes onto a stick with bits of metal or glass or pieces of bone embedded into it. And when it strikes and it pulled back, it would tear the flesh right off of the bones. My friend, he suffered all that for you and I. And we haven't suffered yet as to blood. Some have, and they've gone on to meet their reward. But when it comes time for you to suffer, as that would be also for me, then we got to realize what he done for us, he done it before it ever happened to us. He done it that you and I wouldn't have to possibly maybe go through that. Death hanging on a cross would be a cruel thing. If you just stop and think about it, I read some paper in there where this doctor said that the flesh was torn from his back and everything until it hung down over his buttocks, and you could see the bone, no doubt. And he suffered that, and he bore his cross up Golgotha's hill. There they nailed him to it, lifted him up, fulfilling the scriptures. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But he was lifted up, my friend, but there's a lot of men rejects him today. But them that would call upon him, and them that he stretched out his arms to died for, and when he speaks to you and there and gives you that word, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you hear him speaking into your heart, maybe in the middle of the night or maybe in the midst of a storm or whatever it is, he'll speak that word of comfort. Come unto me. I've got the answers. We don't have all the answers, but he does. My friend, today, if you'll just only rely upon him and trust him, he's worthy to be trusted. You may have some confidence and trust in your wife or your spouse or your children or your best friend or whomever he might be. You may trust in our armed forces in this nation to keep us safe and protect us. But the only way they can do it is because God's with them. The prayers of the people that are praying for God to help them is in the meantime, he's helping them and they are able to help us. Many of them had died, shed their blood to keep this nation safe. But we've got some politicians in here that don't give a flip about that. All they want is the money. But my friend, as Job had all the riches he had, it was all gone in a day. And then the devil came and placed boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Job kept his integrity with God, and he didn't curse God for losing everything like some people have. Well, bless God, if there was a God, why did he let me lose my all of my wealth and all these things? Well, you may have been relying more on that and disregarded that there was a God that has control over it all. I don't know. But my friend, let me tell you, when you put God in the box or try to put him out of your life completely, somewhere or another, you're going to fall short of the glory of God. When you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ through faith and believing and trusting in him, he'll see you through your woes and your troubles. You may lose it all for a while, but hey, there's nothing in this world worth a man losing his soul over. Because he's promised us a place that he said he would go to prepare. And the thoughts of it, the imagination has never come into the man's mind of what he has in store for them that love him and his appearing. You can't comprehend it with what God's got in store for you. To be with him forevermore, with no more crying, no more problems. All things will be resolved. And there'll be joy, peace, and love forevermore. Even to humans with the animals and these things like that. The Bible said even with the lion will eat grass with the oxen. And that's something other that you don't see around here. That lion will kill that ox. He ain't going to lay down with the lamb. He wants to eat him. He had him for breakfast. But they'll lay down with him. There'll be peace that such has never been comprehended by the mind of man. But God has it all in his plans. Now, which would you rather have? Everything that the world has to offer? Wealth and all these things and everything that you could possibly imagine? Or would you rather have life eternally? Well, you can have these things in the world and whatever the flesh desires to have. You can accomplish great things. But if you die and go to hell, it's all gone. And your soul is going to suffer punishment throughout endless ages, throughout eternity. But if you go to God and have these things and you pray and you worship God in spirit and in truth and be willing to sacrifice a little bit for him and for his namesake, you can enter into a much better world. But you don't have to have all these riches and all these things to enter into the kingdom of God. If it had, my friend, I'd just have to give up because I wouldn't make it. If I had to pay a big tuition to get in the gate, I just have, the gate would never open for me because I don't have that kind of play. But some of these preachers out over the world, I guess they think that they get it all out of your pocket and they'll make it in. They don't care about whether you make it or not. But if it was possible that they have enough of money in their hand, they go up there and say, here, St. Peter, here's my tuition, and he let them in. But it ain't going to happen that way, my friend. Money is the root of all evil. If you love it and you cherish it more than you love God, it will bring you down in defeat and destruction. But God has promised us that he would be with us even to our end of the world through that. He never leave us nor forsake us. My friends, sometimes we kind of get a little bit down and we get out. But oftentimes we have to be tried. Is you be tried as though gold, tried in the fire. Only way you can get the impurities, in other words, the dirt and whatever else may be mixed into the gold that you dug it out of the ground, it's got to go through the fire. The gold will come to the top and all the rest of the stuff will go and settle and you can separate it. My friend, I want to be separated from all the lust and the things of life. I want to be come forth pure as pure gold in the presence of God. I'd like to see you also. But it's going to take the one thing that God said, unless you repent, believe, and be baptized, you will no wise enter therein. My friend, today we've got to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Job went ahead, and after that they had been there, boils all over him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He sat out there on a pile of ashes. A lot of his friends come along and thought old Job had just went off his rocker. He'd done something terrible, but it wasn't. It was the trying of his faith. And all through these things, Job hadn't blamed God with anything. But he was out there one day scraping himself with a piece of broken pottery, sitting on a pile of ashes. Guess what? His wife wasn't there when the sons of God and Satan come up before God. But Satan had caused her to speak, says, "Oh, Job." She might have said, "Job, you miserable-looking piece of human flesh, why don't you just go ahead and curse God and die?" Well, she said something other like that. And Job said, "You speak as a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And Job never charged God. He kept his integrity, trusting in God and lifting him up even there in all of his misery, all of his troubles and everything. He still trusted in the Lord God Almighty. Guess what? Some of them old boys that come around and try to trickle fun at him and saying that he done this and done that and he wasn't worthy of this and worthy of that. Job, because you didn't agree or whatever, you missed the cue. You lost it all. Now you've done something terrible for all this to come upon you. Them same old boys had to come back to Job and help him out financially. They had to eat crow, in other words. God's got a plan for you, my friend, as he has for everyone that cometh into this world. There is a measure of faith given unto a man. What you do with that measure, and I firmly believe that it's at least a much as a mustard grain, what you do with it is entirely up to you. If you plant it in the bosom of God and in faith in him, it'll grow up and it'll help you throughout your lifetime. However long that might be, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But if you take it and stick it under the place there where and just do nothing with it, and it just don't turn into anything. And then when you come and stand before God, as one man said, "Here is my what you gave me, Lord." He gave him a little piece of money. "See, here's what you gave me. I went and buried it in the earth, and here it is. I kept it because you sown. I know you reap where you didn't sow, and you gathered and everything. So here's that you gave me. Now, the other people put it to use, my friend. Put your faith to use in God, and he will multiply it. But that one was taken away from him and given to the one that had 10 talents because he didn't use it. Use the faith that God had presented to you or gave to you and lift up the name of Jesus, calling upon the name of the Lord. Let your light so shine that others must see Christ in your life. Don't look at you, but see God in you, the hope of glory. Do good to them that do evil against you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. The Bible said you'd heap coals of fire upon their head. You're going to be persecuted for his name's sake if you live and be a child of God. You will suffer persecution. It's all there. Job did. And God presented him. He said he was perfect and upright. I don't believe God would ever say that about me, but I hope that before it's all over with, he's going to say he done a good job. And when the gate opens, I can go in. That's what I'm striving for, towards the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. I'm not perfect yet. Paul said, I've not yet obtained, but I strive for, reaching for the mark of the high call. I haven't yet obtained yet. Neither have you, my friend, if you're still breathing. This side of the sod, you haven't yet obtained yet. But there's some people in this world that think they got it all. They think that you should be whatever. But my friend, when this world is over and we stand before the Master, God of all the eternities, the Creator, and when he opens up the Lamb's Book of Life and he finds his name is not there, it's been blotted out, he's going to say, depart. Where are you going to be then? Your riches and your gold and silver and all of that is not going to be any good to you. Because it all belonged to God to start with. He allowed people to have the riches to see what they would do. And they splundered it on useless things. Never considered him for anything. It wouldn't give into the true minister, but they'll give to all of them that beats this prosperity sub, shake it up and measure it out, and God's a Santa Claus in the sky, and he'll just pour you, open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that you never seen or heard tell of before, and you're going to be rich, and then he'll get them convinced, and somebody get on there behind, I was broke and down and out and everything, and I heard so-and-so preach, and I sat down and sent them a check for $25, and the very next day I got $25,000 back. Well, if you believe that, you believe that God was a billy goat. Well, God was a goat because he was yours and my scapegoat. When the high priest went and taking the blood out of the sacrifice, he had a goat outside the tabernacle there, and he placed his hands on that goat, placing the sins of the children of Israel upon that goat, and he turned him and a man worthy to take him out into the wilderness and turn him loose with his sins. But every year they had to come back and do the same thing. But Jesus came into this world, God manifested in the flesh to die for you and I, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. You may have suffered in this world, but this is not your home. Home, honey, you're just a pilgrim passing through. This was not his home. He said, I've overcome the world. So what are we going to do? Are we going to live for this world and enjoy this old worldly life and put God out of our life and not have anything to do with him and die and forget it all? No, you won't forget it, my friend. You'll remember it for the eternity, punished in hell. But if you live the life in this world, pleasing unto our Heavenly Father, the Lord of righteousness, and come to meet him face to face, and he sees that blood of Jesus that applied to your sins, and your sins had been blotted out, and he'll look and see your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, then he'll say, enter in to the joy. Hallelujah.
Lord, thank you, Lord.
To the joy of the Lord. And there we can be for eternity. So don't worry and sweat about these things. It's hard to say. If you're human and I'm human, and when trouble comes, we worry about them, and I do. And when people says things against me and they go against me, I'm in the flesh, and sometimes it riles me, and I get beside myself. But then I think about God. You got it all under control. It's in your hands. You do with it what you see fit. Bring me to the place of where you want me to be. And he'd remind me to do good to them that do evil against me. Set all manners of things against me. Pray for them. And he reminds me that he is with me even unto the end of the world. He hasn't forsaken me. Though sometimes you seem like you're all alone. You seem like you're just left by yourself. Seems like husband is forsaking the wife forsaking the husband, their children has done all manners of things and said all kinds of things against you to tear your heart out of you and everything, and you can't get them to do what's right and everything, and it seems like God's a million miles away from you or never existed. That is the time when he's the closest to you, my friend. Just reach out and trust him. Put your hand in the hand of the man that come the waters. The apostles was roaring across the Sea of Galilee, and there came up a tempest. Oh, a rockadon, they called it. And Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And as the wave was tossing them around about, they went and asked him, said, Lord, thou carest. They woke him up, said, Lord, you carest it not that we perish? And he raised up and said, oh, you have little faith. He stood up and rebuked the winds and sent them home and calmed the waters. Troubles in your life? He can control it. Just let him do it. But you're going to face trials, my friend, because it is said in the Word, in this world you will have troubles. He told us that himself. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So even though if we're persecuted, called all manners of things for his name's sake, be happy according to the Word. For you know whom your heavenly Father is. You know that he's looking down upon you. You know that he has you in the palm of his hand, and he will see you through. Turn all the problems over to him. It may take a whacking on somebody to get them woke up. It may take a trouble on them that they never known before. But just let God work his way, because his ways is higher than theirs. And he's got it all. He knows how to deal with these things. And when I tell you, my friend, if you ain't never had a whipping from your heavenly Father, you ain't never been whipped. I know I had one. I run from my heavenly Father for a long time. Till he struck me down, and doctors telling me you'll never work anymore, you're going to be paralyzed riding around in a wheelchair. He got my attention, I want you to know. But for over 40 years now, I've walked on legs of faith. I have aches and hurts and pains from time to time, more times than not, but nevertheless, God's grace is sufficient. As he told Paul when Paul asked him to remove the thorn out of his flesh, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of God is still sufficient, my friend. Your troubles is only as big as you let them be. If you cast your burdens upon the Lord, he said he would set you free from them. He'd be your burden bearer. He'll give you peace like you've never known before. Bible speaks about children persecuting their families. He said, children, to be obey your parents, that your days may be long upon this earth. So, you know, I've seen some children disobey the parents and young, and they lost out. I've been to several funerals and were young people. And I've been to some that was old people that lived their life fearful for God, and they lived a life and they had finished their course and they was ushered into the kingdom of God by the Spirit. My friend, it's all in Christ Jesus. If you put your trust in him, He'll bring you through all of your trials and your tribulations. He'll see you through. He'll provide for you. Things that you never thought that would come to be would come to you because God loves you. He loves you enough to die for you. So why don't you love Him enough? If you don't love Him enough that you live for Him. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world came into this world. God manifested in the flesh. If you read the first chapter of John, and he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The 14th verse said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And if that ain't God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, my friend, you got to come with a better explanation than that to convince me that there is no God. My friend, today I worship Him in spirit and in truth. I try to obey Him in every way. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. So we all do. We're still human. We're in the flesh. But the problem is that when you make a mistake, you realize you've done wrong. You ask your Heavenly Father, forgive me. That's where it's all got to come from. Paul said, I die daily. Meant that he sacrificed himself daily to God. He crucified the old flesh. He prayed and asked God forgiveness of whatever, every day. And that's what you and I are going to have to do, my friend. We're going to have to, you can't carry sin around in your life and hope that in the end that you'll be able to cast it off and walk on into the glory of God. Sin will keep you out no matter how small it may seem to be. If it ain't under the blood, it'll cause you to lose. Just one little thing will cause you to lose out. So it's time that we got our pros and our cons together, got our ducks in a row, somebody said, and get right with God. Let God rule and reign in our life, that we should serve Him and not the things of this world or the world that is we live in. We need to look to Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to call upon the Lord in repentance, be in godly sorrow for our sins and whatever it may be that we've committed. Our children, put them in the hands of God, as I have, because that's the safest place I can put them. I can't put them in my pocket and carry them into glory, but I put them in the hands of the Lord, and whatever He sees fit, it will be. Yes, my friends, we have troubles. We'll have trials as long as we're in this flesh. But God said He would raise up a standard against the things. He would give us authority over the wiles of the devil if we'd just allow him to be. Some people have trouble with the children, some with husbands and wives and whatever. But God is a big God, and He's bigger than any of our troubles. We got to allow Him to work in His way and His time, and when He sees fit, He's going to put an end to it. You can trust in that. I've done been down that road a time or two, a mile or so myself. Troubles I wouldn't care to go into, but He helped me through it, and He put an end to it because I trusted Him. And He brought me through and gave me victory, as He done Job. He made everything better for him, as He done Job. And I appreciate it today. And I thank Him for all of His love and blessings. So as our time is running out, as one brother said, when you're having fun, time goes in a hurry. But I just praise God today and thank Him for you that listen. And I pray that God will richly bless you and help you, and all of your troubles be few, and He will help you. And as you take time for Jesus, remember us. If you have want to help us with the broadcast, because we're self-supported, if you want to help us, just write to us. The address will be given to you. And take time for it. Just make it out to take time for Jesus, and we'll go from there. But may God richly bless you is our prayer. God bless them and keep them by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That's all my heart.